And you're welcome back to the programme. The time now is 29 minutes past the hour, and it's half past the hour almost, and on a Monday evening we normally talk with our next guest, Liam Horan, about careers and associated topics. Liam Horan, good evening to you.
Good evening, Aidan.
And thank you very much, as always, for joining us. Couple of topics to be discussed this evening. First, inquiry. I recently went for a job with a company, but I didn't get it. However, they made a point of ringing me to say I had made a very favourable impression. This particular job wasn't the right fit for you, the owner told me on the phone, but we'd be very interested in talking to you down the line when the right job comes up. Do stay in touch. What advice are you giving?
Well, I suppose it's an interesting one, because the exhortation to stay in touch, you have to, first of all, I suppose, judge whether or not the employer was fully, fully meant what they said. But it sounds like, let's take it on its merits that they did. They weren't just fobbing you off with the thanks, but no thanks, don't call us, we'll call you kind of thing. So let's just take it that in this case, they do want it is a good idea to stay in touch. The challenge really for our listener this evening is to stay in touch without becoming a stalker, if you know what I mean. So there's a difference between popping in every now and then to say, this is what I'm at, this is what I've been doing since we spoke last, and actually putting pressure on people to employ you. Because companies employ people when they need to employ them, and it's good to keep your name in front of them, but you shouldn't try and, you know, artificially create a scenario whereby they feel under pressure, because that would likely have the opposite effect, the effect of maybe reducing your reputation in the eye of the employer. What I would say generally to people when I come across this scenario is, I think about every 3 months you should contact the company with a very brief update. You could do it by putting a note in your diaries, you know, just kick it forward 3 months every time. Keep it friendly, keep it professional, but not dry or not overly kind of serious. Just explaining what you've done, what's happened in your job since, have you taken on a new job, are you doing a new course, etc. 100 words should be enough. And also just to ask how the company are doing, and just to reiterate that if anything ever comes up, you know where I am. But it's very much that kind of you know where I am thing, not a hard sell, not leaning on their shoulder. And over a period of time, if those exchanges are kept the right way, you should build up a reasonable relationship with the person you're dealing with. And hopefully the day would come down the line when the job that you suit, the job that you're suited to, does come up. It's an interesting one, but I know that lots, and we've talked about this before, people assess things like email communication and just your general demeanour in how you go about something like this very closely. They'll watch to see, are you cool out, as the phrase might be, you know, are you somebody who, or are you likely to put pressure on them, and, you know, your personality type can be revealed as well by just how appropriately you go through that process. So I would say, yes, keep in touch, don't become a stalker, don't look for too much, and all the time keep it bright, breezy, professional, and hopefully one day keeping in touch will bring the reward that you're looking for.
But are there a couple of points to this, nonetheless, Liam? You know, if you get that phone call, the job wasn't particularly suited to you, but we'd be very interested in talking to you down the line when the right job comes up. Surely the question that needs to be asked by the interviewee is, well, what exactly do you see as the right job being for me within your company?
That's a very good point. You could use the communication for that as well, to say, you know, where do you see me fitting in? That's a very, very good point. And I would say to do that once only, not to keep, you know, looking for feedback or to keep getting reassurance or to keep kind of delving more into that. But yes, that in the first email back, say, I appreciate very much you giving me the call. I do intend to stay in touch. And just by way of developing myself down the line, where do you see me exactly fitting in? What might have you in mind? And that can be very useful information, because you can also then spend a few months perhaps developing your skills in that area. So when the next job does come up in that area, that you go from being strong favourite to being unbackable favourite kind of thing.
And then another aspect of this is that perhaps the individual who gets this phone call will be asking themselves, well, just what did I do not good enough in the interview that led the employer to take the view he's taken that this isn't the job for me? In other words, you know, you could be beating yourself up, asking yourself, well, where did I go wrong in the interview?
Yes, and it may be, I get the impression from the employer there, that from the correspondence from the employer, that it wasn't necessarily the interview performance, it was the job may not have been the right fit. So it may just not have been the one for you. You may have had an experience deficit, maybe your skills are not in that area. But it's good to isolate or to find out why exactly you didn't get a job. Was it the interview? Was it something in my experience? Was it my age? And by age, I mean experience again. What exactly is the reason why I didn't get the job? And it may be something you can't cure either. It may just be that your skill set and your orientation is not in the direction of that particular job. But I've seen this happen in companies quite a bit where, you know, they say, well, that person isn't right for this, but we need a job in this area. You know, if we're looking for a salesperson, they'd be brilliant, but really, they're not an administrator, for example. But so, you know, it needn't all be about the interview either. It could be something in your experience.
But it begs the question then, why was the individual called for interview?
Yeah, well, companies often call people to interview without a huge amount of research either. And so it's only when you meet somebody, you really get a full feel for them. You know, people can have experience in a certain area, but the experience they have may not be the right experience for them either. You know what I mean? So this employer, I think, is acting in a very rare way for an employer, acting as a talent scout, you know, spotting their ability.
Yes.
And seeing where it would fit in. That's reasonably rare in my experience among employers, that they'll say, well, they're training other experiences in Category A, but I see them fitting into Category B. So I think overall it's a very positive sign for this candidate that somebody's taking an interest in them, and I would try and build on it.
And just finally, in relation to this particular discussion, the individual who receives a phone call like that saying, look, we were impressed, but the job just isn't right for you on this occasion, do they hang around waiting for the right job to come up with this company, or do they be proactive in terms of other interviews, other job applications, all of that sort of thing?
Oh yeah, I would never put the world on hold for something as tenuous as this. And I think it's a mistake people often make, where they get down to the second interview or they think they've got word of something, and they suspend all other activities in this area. I would want a lot more reason than this. If you're looking around, I would stay looking around, you know, because just to use the phrase the employer used there was down the line. I mean, the line could be a very long line.
Sure.
And so, no, I would keep moving on. It's just one more ball you have in the air, and you know, I wouldn't give it any more importance than that. And you'd be surprised how many people focus in on one job and can spend 6 or 8 weeks trying to get it, and then it doesn't come off, and realise, oh God, I've nothing else in the pipeline. So keep the pipeline moving, I would say, if you are looking around.
Very good. Let's move on to a second issue raised by IK, again by email. I'm due to go for interview on the 1st of May. I'm going on a week's holidays on May 15th. I'm afraid this will come against me. Should I tell them, I presume by them, the interview board, during the interview, or say nothing for now?
I would probably say nothing for now. If you just take the timelines now, I mean, what are we, 13th of April today. The interview is the 1st of May. Going on holidays the 1st of, or the 4th, the 15th of May. You know, most jobs take a month to fill anyway, because people need to, first of all, they've got to hold interviews, got to make a decision, make an offer to somebody, maybe get a contract to that person. So even if somebody only needs to work 2 weeks, it can often take a month for it all to happen. So unless they're going on a tour around the world, this candidate should be back well in time to take up the job. And the other thing I'd say is, even if there's a week or two of an interregnum kind of thing, where they'd like you to start, we'll say, on the 22nd of May, but you're not back until a week later. You know, a week is a very short period of time in the life cycle of a job. And if you focus in the interview on the 1st of May and proving that you are the very best candidate for the job, it'd be a very short-sighted company that would decide to go for their second candidate just because they're available a week or two earlier. So you really focus on getting the job. If they contact you post the 1st of May, you can at that point say, look, I'm going to be away for a couple of weeks, but I'm ready to roll at the end of May or whatever it'll be. I don't think in the timelines that are there, you're obliged to say that. This is the time of the year people start going on holidays. thankfully. I don't think you're obliged to say it just now. If the timelines were slightly different, you might say, I'd like to point out I am away for 3 weeks in the middle of June, by which time they'd like you to have started. But I think in this case, the timelines are okay, and I wouldn't complicate the first interview. The first interview, I think, should always be kept as, it's relentless pursuit by you of the job and of convincing the employer that you're the right person for the job. And entering the holiday thing there, I think, would be... It'd be unnecessary and might create a slightly negative dynamic. What you don't want is two very close candidates, you and somebody else, being separated by them saying, well, sure, IK here is going to be away for holidays, so we'll go to the other one. So get the job first and I'd sort out the finer details of the holidays later on.
But isn't there also something of a risk in this, Liam? You attend for interview on the 1st of May. Very often you hear it happening 3 or 4 days later, a phone call is made, you've got the job, I want you to start on the 15th. Well, sorry, I've holidays booked for the 15th. Then the employer might say, well, why didn't you tell me that? And then he begins, or she begins, to have perhaps a jaundiced view of the interviewee.
Well, first of all, it's a very short timeline to go, we'll say, expect somebody to start Monday week if they're currently in a job. Most people are giving 2 weeks to a month notice. And if you're in the job of recruiting somebody, you kind of factor that into your plans. But if that's a problem, it will also be a problem in the first interview. So I'd wait until it becomes a problem before I'd make it a problem. If it becomes a problem in the offer phone call, that's okay. But I wouldn't make it a problem until it is a problem, you know what I mean? If they make it very clear in the interview, yes, we want the winning candidate to start on the 15th of May, perhaps then you could say, well, I just want to point out one thing, I'm away from the 15th of May. But unless they make it very clear in the interview, I think you're creating unnecessary trouble for yourself early on. And if they say to you in the offer phone call, why didn't you tell me that? Your response could be, well, I didn't expect it would be starting so soon. I've got to give 2 weeks' notice, like most people, and I didn't think it would be a problem. But I think if you convince them you're the person, you know, I think that they would be very short-sighted if they're making a serious appointment to put it all down to a week or two, you know.
And you know, employers tend to be very pragmatic individuals, and if they've got the right person and perhaps the individual they've been looking for months, and suddenly they find this individual, a week or two of holidays is unlikely to cause end for that particular candidate.
Yes, right now our candidate is a hypothetical case, okay? When you've convinced them that you're the right person, now we're into hard negotiation. And there are other things as well, of course, don't forget, there's the contract, there's conditions, all sorts of things will have to be discussed as well. But once they have made a kind of a gesture of faith in you, you're in a stronger position then, because then you know, well, I'm the one they want. Now we can talk like adults and talk like equals and sort this out. And this is just one part of the discussion at that stage, perhaps, the holidays. You know, there are other things as well, like conditions and contract and place of work and facilities you'll be given. Are you given a car, whatever is involved, whatever is needed. So I would like to get to that point first before I start introducing negatives. Because I think the timelines here mean it's a judgment call, but I was very surprised if it caused a problem here. If it was a month later, yes, I would say at the first interview, flag it up, because it would almost certainly be a problem when they offer the job.
And just in relation to that, I appreciate now that we're up against the clock and we won't have time to give this much consideration, but perhaps we can develop it further next week. The issue of negotiating, you know, if a person does get the job, the negotiation isn't going to be during the course of the interview, because that's only administrative. But once the individual gets the job, then, you know, are they simply presented with a fait accompli? These are the terms and conditions of your employment, and if you don't like it, lump it.
I've heard cases where that has happened. In fact, I heard of a very recent case. I heard of a candidate going for a job and went into negotiation and found no bend at all, no give at all on the other side. But by and large, generally people, you know, it depends what the job is, but there can be negotiations, there can be contract discussions, there can be issues about healthcare, things like that. And my general experience has been that employers tend to be fairly okay about that kind of stuff. But it can depend on the level of the job, the speciality of the job. There are a lot of factors involved. Sometimes an employer will just give you a contract and the person receiving it might not even read it. It depends on, you know, what level the job is at and what kind of people are involved. But generally, if there's a contract to be negotiated, I have always generally found that employers are willing to negotiate and discuss to a certain extent.
Actually,
and yes. I would always recommend people to get somebody else to look at the contract as well. Don't just accept it, get somebody else to read it as well.
But that happens very often, I suppose. The individual perhaps is so delighted to have been successful in the job that they're presented with the contract, they sign it, and they don't look at the small print, which is very ill-advised thing to do, needless to say.
Yeah, and there's a real downer for people when they've gone through the whole process of an interview or two, and then the contract comes out, and it's a very disappointing contract. I've seen that as well, and they can often sort of kind of wish it away and hope, you know. But really, you owe it to yourself to read that contract and get totally familiar with it and see, will this work for me economically, work-wise, conditions-wise, all that kind of thing. It's an area where, you know, having your dream job doesn't mean you do it for nothing. It doesn't mean you do it well below what you want to do it for. You need to be very, very satisfied yourself going in there. And people can be very indifferent or careless around the contract, and it can come back to bite them.
Very good, Liam. We shall leave it there. Thank you very much indeed, as always, for joining us on the programme this evening. And we'll talk to you again next Monday evening in or about 5:30.
Thank you very much, Aidan.
Liam Horan, Managing Director of Sliabhne Nua Careers. Thank you indeed.